St. Peter about Counselor Rock. Today is also Mission Sunday, so we have the operations from the Mass for the propagation of the faith. We have a bulletin with the schedule actually going all the way through Christmas, so please be sure to take one. In particular, 2 weeks out from today, on the Saturday, is the Feast of All Saints. It's a holy day of obligation. Unfortunately, I'm unable to get here in time to have Mass at a workable time on the Saturday. So I'll take another look at the flights that I can book what I can get. But right now, it looks like I can't be here for the Feast of All Saints. The Sunday, the second, though, will be here. That is the time change Sunday. Also, you see in the bulletin, the Mass is advanced. It's just a quarter hour, but it gives a little more time afterwards. And then All Souls Day, remember the faithful departed, moved to the Monday. That's the way it worked. If All Souls Day is on a Sunday, November 2nd is on a Sunday, and All Souls Day gets moved to November 3rd. Something to bear in mind there is that the special indulgence, the closest indulgence for visiting the church and saying the six Our Fathers, six Hail Marys, and six Glory Bees, that is normally on All Souls Day or the Sunday following. But for All Souls Day, we can start that at noon of the previous day. So today, 2 weeks from today, I would encourage you to come back to the church after noon and make those visits. I think that's probably the most accessible for most. Also, for All Souls, we do have the envelopes at the back, so you can return them between now and All Souls Day, or if it works better to do it by email, that's fine too. And then, looking ahead in the schedule all the way to Christmas, it seems to happen regularly that people end up being involved in holiday parties during Advent. But sometimes it's not something we can control, it's work. But if it's something we can control, it should be pleasant but firm that Christmas starts on Christmas and we're certainly going to celebrate at that time. And that Advent is not a time for parties, it's a time for recollection. So as much as you can do that, I just urge you to do it. And maybe at a certain point you can get pleasant about it. We don't want to be looking down on our neighbors, but point out to them that Advent prepares for Christmas, and that's when we do our celebrating. The epistle appointed to be read for today's Mass is taken from that of St. Paul to the Ephesians. Brethren, be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new man who, according to God, is created in justice and holiness of truth. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak ye the truth, every one of his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sin go down upon your anger. Give not place to the devil. He that stole, let him now steal no more. But rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have something to give to him that suffereth need. Please stand for the whole gospel. A statement from that, according to St. Matthew. At that time, Jesus spoke to the chief priests and the Pharisees in parable, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is likened to a king who made a marriage for his son. And he sent his servants to call them that were invited to the marriage, and they would not come. Again he sent other servants, saying, Tell them that were invited, Behold, I have prepared my dinner. My beeves and fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come ye to the marriage. But they neglected and went their ways, one to his farm and another to his merchandise. And the rest laid hands on his servants, and having treated them contumeliously, put them to death. But when the king had heard of it, he was angry, and sending his armies, he destroyed those murderers and burnt their city. Then saith he to his servants, The marriage indeed is ready, But they that were invited were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as you shall find, call to the marriage. And the servants going forth into the ways gathered all that they found, both good and bad. And the marriage was filled with gifts. And the king went in to see the guests, and he saw there a man who had not on a wedding garment. And he said to him, Friend, how camest thou hither, not having on a wedding garment? But he was silent. Then the king said to the waiters, Bind his hands and his feet, and cast him into the exterior darkness, for there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. By the words of the Holy Gospel, may our sins be blotted out. Brethren, be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new man, who according to God is created in justice and holiness of truth. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear faithful, in this month of October, we have the month of the Holy Rosary. We are very much exhorted to pray the Rosary every day. We have the Rosary in conjunction with Mass, so we began it before Mass and we'll finish it after Mass. Sometimes one might ask the question, well, why is the Rosary so repetitive? The essence of the Rosary is 150 Hail Marys and 15 Our Fathers. The answer to that, actually, or an explanation of that, how the Rosary actually is much more than just the Our Fathers and the Hail Marys, is something that we can take from music. We think of some familiar simple tune like O Susanna or Yankee Doodle or something like that. We can say that there are three components to the music. The first is the rhythm or the beat, so that which you can tap your toe to or whatever. Our ordinary music, that's what we have. And it can be a different variation, but we have the rhythm. And then we have the melody, so it's the notes that go up and down, what makes it distinctive. And further, if we have more than one person or one instrument or parts of one instrument playing, we can have harmony. So you have the rhythm, the melody, and then the harmony. And so, if we think of the Rosary, actually, there are all three of those parts, not in the sense of what we hear, but rather in what we pray and how the Rosary, being a prayer, lifts our heart and our mind to God and unites us to God. So, the first part, we might say the rhythm, which is the more repetitious part, just like in, let's say, with Yankee Doodle, there would be a constant rhythm. That is the Hail Marys and the Our Fathers. They're like simple, but they pace us. And of course, the words there are not just human words. They're the words of the angels of our Blessed Mother, Saint Elizabeth, and then the words of the Church, and of course, the Our Fathers, the Lord's Prayer, and those are the essential prayers of the Rosary. So, as we pray those then, that's the foundation, that's the rhythm, just as it would be in a song. But that's not where it's supposed to stop. In fact, if we had Yankee Doodle and all we did was tap, well, we might be able to figure out what it is, but that really wouldn't be a song. The next is the melody, and the melody kind of corresponds to meditating on the mysteries, the various events in the life of the Blessed Lord and His Holy Mother. So, and there's more to that, and this takes up a little more thought. But having the foundation then assists us to raise our heart and our mind to consider these things, to turn our thoughts to God. And then, as we pray, then the next is the action of our will. And whether we're praying the Rosary alone or with someone else, what is the will there? Well, It is to unite our will and have our will correspond to God's holy will. So if we have our little part in God, of course, that's the big part. But when our will isn't together with God, it's like two people singing or two instruments, those work together and they give something very beautiful. And there's a union, even a union of the sound, even if there's a union of the person. So in that case, our will is united to God's will, and that's, of course, what gets us to heaven. That's what makes heaven heaven, the union of wills. So all of this is reflected in the rosary prayer, that meditating upon these mysteries, so that's the melody, by means of the rosary, so that's the rhythm. May we imitate what they contain, so this, the virtues, that unites our will to God's, and obtain what they promise, was holiness here upon earth and glory in heaven. So that prayer puts it all together. Nevertheless, it's a way to consider it. It's an explanation. So I might say a little parable of the music. And it should also encourage us to make the effort to pray the rosary and then to see its different components and how they work together. Also, because the rosary is so suited to the limitations of our human condition and our own daily conditions, it has this flexibility. So there may be times when we're tired or distracted or whatever, or there are distractions, but all we can manage of lifting our heart and mind to God, all that we can manage is to say the Hail Marys and Our Fathers. Because essentially prayer is lifting our hearts and minds to God. That's prayer. And it might, we might, as a comparison, say, well, if I wanted to sing Yankee Doodle and I'm trying to slog through a rainstorm, that might be all I can, just kind of stamp my feet to that rhythm. Sometimes with the rosary, we're tired or distracted or whatever. It's all we can manage. And yet what's so beautiful is our Blessed Mother takes those prayers and enhances them and presents them before her divine Son. More normally, as we should be, as with the music, singing the tune. So normally we should be meditating upon the mysteries. And if we made that effort, we will receive certain license, certain strength, and to unite our will with God. That means a strength in doing good and also a strength in avoiding that which is evil. So at different times it may work differently. So please do keep that in mind and pay attention to all three parts of it. But it's not as if we have to divide it up. Do our very best with the rosary. Also, with the Holy Rosary, it is prayer. So it has the four purposes of prayer: to adore God, to thank Him for the good things that He's given to us, to make satisfaction for our sins, and then, of course, the one we think of, which is to pray for that which we need. Now, the Church encourages us to pray the rosary. And in particular, she encourages us by enriching the rosary with what are called indulgences. It's a review of, well, what is an indulgence? It has to do with satisfaction for sin. Now, the forgiveness of sin is accomplished by our Lord through the sacrament of penance. We need to be sorry for our sins. We confess our sins. The priest gives us absolution. And thus applies the merits of our Lord Jesus Christ to our souls to forgive that sin. At the same time, that sin has also done a damage to the order of creation. We would say it's made a mess. Or there's another analogy is that by sin, we put the vehicle of our soul in the ditch. It is confession that pulls it out of the ditch, but there's still mud in the fenders, or there are dents in the fenders. And God says, you need to clean out the mud. You need to fix the dents before your soul can go to heaven. And so that's part of what our prayers do then. We're cleaning out the mud and fixing the dents of our soul. That's called satisfaction. The church having the treasury then of the prayers of all the saints and also our Lord's treasury and being the mystical body of Christ is able to assist us in that. And in the early centuries, if people committed a serious sin like blasphemy or adultery or whatever, aside from going to confession, they would have to do public penance. And so that meant wearing sackcloth and ashes, kneeling at the door of the church, and so on, and so, sometimes for a very extended period of time. There was also the time of the persecution, and you had people who were in prison waiting to be put to death, the martyrs. And so those who had committed a sin and repented of it but were doing the penance would go to the martyrs and say, please pray for me and offer your sufferings for me. And the martyrs, of course, would say yes, so they did have some access to those prisons. And then that agreement or that offer on the part of the martyr would then could be applied to the ones within the public penance. So if you're doing something where you would have to do the public penance for 2 years, the martyr would pray for you and it could be cut down to 1 year or less. So that's the historical origin, and that's where it comes to indulgences. You get days or months or years. It doesn't mean time off purgatory in that sense, but it's a rough approximation. It's a way of approximating. And so there are what are called partial indulgences, so that some of the time that would be in purgatory or some of the satisfaction, and then they're plenary or complete, which we fulfill all the conditions, and that's important to remember. That is a complete taking away of the temporal punishment or the complete fixing up of the dents and the mud. So when the church attaches and indulges to a prayer or an action, that's what it means. So with regard to the rosary then, the indulgences are fairly, rich and generous. The church amplifies our prayers. Just ordinarily praying the rosary alone is 5 years. During October, just praying the rosary alone is seven. So there's a bonus. Praying the rosary with someone else is 10. So that's a real encouragement for the family rosary. Or just I would think that it also apply to the teleconference rosary. In any case, that's 10, and of course, where does that go back to our Lord's beautiful words, where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am in their midst. And then when we pray the rosary before the Blessed Sacrament, so either just in church the Blessed Sacrament reserved, or a benediction or whatever, it's a plenary. So it's complete. Again, we have to fill all the conditions. So as much as it can possibly be. And so each of those then has to do with the satisfaction. Now, that's in addition to just the inherent value of the rosary, of the four purposes of prayer, the adoration, the thanksgiving, the petition, of course, then the satisfaction for our sins. They would be there anyhow. This amplifies, it gives us extras. So that's... encouragement to us, and also it shows us the mind of the church to encourage us to pray the rosary and then to make a special effort to come to church. So I point that out in particular for the Sundays when you don't have Mass. People might say, well, I can say my rosary at home, I can move my prayers at home. You're not before the Blessed Sacrament. And that's why we have the chapel here. Reserve the Blessed Sacrament and for you to come. So there are various spiritual benefits. With regard to gaining the indulgences for the rosary, this is for 5 decades. The chapter, the 5 decades of the rosary. The rosary can be split up. You can do a decade here or a decade there, as long as they're all done within the one day. And then what is essentially necessary are the Hail Marys and the Our Fathers. The other prayers we can customarily add, and you definitely should be saying those, are not strictly necessary for the indulgences. So the Glory Be, the Apostles' Creed, the Hail Holy Queen, they have come to be by the devotion of the faithful, including several saints over the decades of the centuries. And then sometimes people will ask, well, what about prayers we might put in between one decade and the other? Is that going to upset the indulgence? The answer is no. First of all, we could say each decade separately and do whatever we like in between. We could do a psalm or two. And that there are different customs that we're used to the battle ejaculation, O my Jesus. But there's another one, is Hesed, who made souls of the faithful departed. It was a favorite of Pope Pius IX, and I've heard it said, pray the rosary to people. And there may be some other. Well, what we may not do is put some extra prayer between the Hail Marys. Before or after a decade, let's say the introduction of ministry and so on, that doesn't affect the indulgence. But to get the indulgence for a rosary, it needs to be 5 decades within one day. And that question was actually put to the Holy See back in the early 1900s, and that was the answer. And then, so we should be praying our rosary, paying attention to the three different levels of it, and seeking to gain those indulgences. Now, what are the normal conditions to gain, especially a plenary indulgence? And it's not something mechanical. It's not like going to a vending machine. It's spiritual. So the first of these is that in order to gain the indulgence, you must be in the state of grace. And in favor of the misfortune to be in the state of mortal sin, to have a very firm purpose of getting to confession as soon as possible. Otherwise, the church does tell us we need to go to confession a week before or after. So when we have Mass every second week, if you go to confession in a given visit, you're covered, so to speak. In our situation, where sometimes the availability of a confessor is just not there, we do the best we can, but this all goes back to God's mercy and the merciful will of His church. So the first is the state of grace. The second is the general intention to gain the indulgence. So even if we just wrap that into our morning offering, we just say, yes, I want to gain all the indulgences I can for myself and for the poor souls, that just covers it. Then we have to do what is prescribed, so the prayers or the action. And then usually we must receive Holy Communion either on that day or as soon before or after. Again, one's in a situation where getting to Mass and receiving Holy Communion is going to be several weeks, make a spiritual communion and commend it to God's mercy. And then there are the prayers for the intentions of the Holy See. That's usually an Our Father, the Hail Mary, and the Glory Be. So those are the conditions for a plenary indulgence, a complete one. And then in the month of November, in particular, it's all year, but particularly in November, there are special indulgences to help the poor souls in purgatory. And they work a little differently. The one for ourselves is by the jurisdiction of the church. For the poor souls is by the prayer of the church, asking God to take our prayers and good works, amplify it, and to help out the poor souls. And again, it's not mechanical. A lot of that has to do with the disposition of those people at the hour of their death, really sorry for their sins. So there's a part we can't see. Nevertheless, in November then, and especially the week of All Souls, there's these special indulgences. The talk about the visits to the church on All Souls Day or the Sunday following. And then another is visits to a cemetery. Of course, every community has at least one cemetery. And simply to go to the cemetery, that's for All Souls Day and the whole week that follows, to the eighth day. Simply to go and to pray for the souls of the faithful departed. It can be just any prayer, really. And so that's something that we can and should do. So all of this then unites us to the church militant here upon earth by our prayers, to the church suffering in purgatory. We reach out to assist them. And then we're begging that we would all be united one day in the church triumphant in heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.